So we have the North Carolina terrorism gang story that is just unfolding. New details every day. Federal authorities are looking for a suspected eighth member of this gang.
Yeah, they were freaking out in North Carolina yesterday. We were talking to them.
Yeah, that he's in Pakistan. And we were talking to folks yesterday. You know, neighbors just can't believe that Daniel Boyd, this 39-year-old drywaller, could be involved in jihad. Well, with us here today is Mitch Silber, Director of Intelligence Analysis for the New York Police Department, to help us, you know, understand what's going on. Mitch, you have a tough and fascinating job. Can you tell our listeners what you do every day to protect New York City from attack?
Sure. Well, good morning. My responsibility is to oversee the analysis part of all of the intelligence investigations that the NYPD is doing. And I oversee a group of about two dozen talented civilian and uniformed analysts, as well as our cyber internet team.
And it's a global effort, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We have personnel posted in 11 different posts around the world, ranging from the UK to Abu Dhabi to Singapore. And we're constantly trying to understand trends overseas and look at the and ask the New York questions once we hear what's going on overseas.
You better get a team to North Carolina, huh?
No kidding. So when we woke up to, you know, the picture of Daniel Boyd, for a lot of Americans, it was just totally shocking, totally surprising. Is this a game changer for you in terms of profiling potential terrorist suspects?
I think when we saw North Carolina, we felt validated because we put out a study in 2007 called Radicalization in the West. And what that really talked about, the fact that a lot of these individuals who either aspire to be al-Qaeda or actually end up linking up to al-Qaeda, like the Patchogue jihadist Bryant Neovinius, were actually radicalized in the West, not in a madrasa in Pakistan. And that means that the onus is on Western law enforcement for detection and ultimately disruption.
So what is it about this all-American guy, Daniel Boyd, for you that raises red flags specifically?
Well, you know, he's a part of a number of people who we would qualify as unremarkable. There's nothing in their background at first that makes them someone who you'd think you'd go this route. But ultimately, there are a series of behaviors that we talked about in this report that were signposts or red flags that he was going down this road. For example, in the indictment, it says he and his followers, the Raleigh Seven, they left the mosque they were at. They got into some type of conflict with the imam. And frankly, we've seen that pattern before because usually the religious leader isn't extreme enough.
So that says radicalization to you.
That says that the message they're getting at what might be a moderate location isn't extreme enough for them, and they go to a private location. Yes, that says radicalization, and it's a big red flag for us.
What about his trips overseas? I mean, just because he, you know, goes to the Middle East doesn't necessarily mean he's going there to train. How do you view that?
Well, I'd say that would probably be one of the other very bright red flags. When we see people looking to travel to international hot zones, Pakistan, Somalia, Iraq, places where there's an ongoing military conflict, Gaza, that is a red flag. And if you put these two together, what might be benign behaviors, suddenly you've got a pattern that we've seen repeat itself.
Well, let me push back just a little bit on that. I mean, it's not as though if my neighbors who are Muslims, right, and you have Muslim neighbors, we both do, were to come to me and say, we're going on vacation, we're going to Gaza and Israel, we're going to check out Pakistan, that I'm supposed to give you a call all of a sudden?
Yeah, it's tricky because we're dealing with nuanced behaviors that are surely protected by the Constitution. But really what it is you're looking at a cluster of behaviors, a series of behaviors that in and of themselves are benign. But really when you start to map these together, the rejecting the moderate message, the going out doing military training in the countryside, and then the travel overseas, now you've got a pattern.
So very quickly for our listeners, what should we be looking for? What are some, you know, top three things that might signal that we have a neighbor next door who might be involved in jihad?
Frankly, it's very difficult for the neighbor next door to determine it. They're really so...
Leave it to the professionals, I guess.
In a sense, yes.
Yeah. Right.
So that's, I guess, our takeaway for this. Indeed. Thank you. Thank you, Mitch Silber, Director of Intelligence Analysis for the New York Police Department.
Thanks, Mitch.
Much.
And
thank
finding
you.
Finding news you can use on the H1N1 virus coming right up.